Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
This is Missionize, and we are grateful that you've joined us. I'm Sam Roberts, and with me is our co-host, Clint Ritchie. Clint, thinking back on our time that we served as pastors of the local church, one of the most incredible aspects of serving as a pastor were those conversations I would have with members who felt God moving in their lives in a way that would lead them toward either ministry in the local church or to the mission field. And most often, as you know, those conversations were with students who had just returned from church camp or super summer or some other event. But they also included some adults that were at different stages of life who were just excited and terrified at the same time that God might be calling them into a different avenue of following Him. I thought it'd be interesting to start this particular episode off with Clint. Share with our listeners the experience you had in being called to ministry and who God used to help you navigate that calling.
Yeah, so I surrendered to ministry when I was in the seventh grade. I was 13 years old. God called me at the Youth Evangelism Conference, a ministry of the cooperative program, by
wow,
the way.
Awesome.
And, you know, I guess I was thinking back in preparation for this, I think most of those who helped me navigate that calling would have been after we would say surrender to the ministry. That I don't think that had been a conversation really had prior to that time. But after that was part of a Normative Science Baptist Church with a bivocational pastor and youth minister that poured into me, that gave me opportunities to serve and to use my gifts and to realize what my calling was. You know, and then I, of course, look back and see it was Sunday school teachers prior to that time.
Yeah.
It was parents who established that foundation. And so it was, you know, from the family foundation, but also from the church pouring into to not just me, but a group of kids, but then giving me opportunities to serve, you know, after that official surrender to ministry.
You know, I think as pastors as well, and this just can be a word of encouragement to those who are listening, I think it's important that we share with each other those callings, because we need to remind ourselves of the calling we have, because there are times when ministry gets pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And it's those times of being able to sit down and just remember with a devoted brother, a fellow follower of Jesus, someone who's also experienced that call, exactly what happened, just to remind ourselves This is not a decision that we made just out of the blue, but God was orchestrating this whole movement in our lives. So thanks for that.
You bet. I can remember talking to my pastor and him saying, yeah, you know, it could be a lot of things. God could be calling you to pastor a church. He could be calling you to youth ministry. He could be calling you to worship ministry. And I knew right then that one was out. You know, I could say without a doubt at that time. But nowhere in there did he say anything about a denominational worker, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see how the call is refined, how God changes that, aspects of that through, but how the base of that call remains the same.
Amen. Hey, that's a great segue into our topic for this episode of raising up and calling out the next generation of gospel workers. We're going to use an article by Chuck Lawless. That article, Chuck, entitled 10 Ways in Raising Up, Calling Out the Next Generation of Gospel Workers. Now, we're honored to have with us, right here in this studio, in person, the one and only, the ever-impressive, often imitated but never duplicated, Bill Newton. Welcome to Mission Eyes, Bill.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me. There's probably a reason never duplicated, but we won't get into all that.
Bill, you're no stranger to Arkansas Baptist who serve in Next Generation Ministries, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with you, so go ahead and introduce yourself as we start out here.
Yeah, so Bill Newton. I am the Next Gen and Discipleship Strategist here at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. Just started in March, but have been around the convention for a long time. I've served on the leadership team for Super Summer for the last 20 years and done a lot of just kind of contract type work for the convention in that time, and so have been in ministry, started in youth ministry. It's just kind of super short version. This was not what I had planned on doing. I actually graduated college and was working on a master's in nursing at UAMS here in Little Rock when God very unexpectedly called me to ministry. Took a couple of years to figure out for sure that's what was happening, but once God confirmed that, went back to school and took all the Bible classes I could take, so I figured if God was calling me to ministry, I needed to know the Bible, and started in youth and children's ministry, then moved to youth ministry for quite a long time, 20 years or so, and then my last 5 years before coming to the convention, I served as a next-gen pastor at First Baptist Hot Springs, where I was on staff for 15 years.
Awesome. Well, we are glad to have you here at the convention and serving in that role and unofficially keeping Warren Gazaway in line. So, hey, we have started a segment for our guests, just to rapid fire questions. We've been doing this at the end, but we're going to do it at the beginning just to get to know you a little better. So here we go. Favorite meal?
If I'm on the go, it's not like a sit-down restaurant, I'm always up for a good burger. And then if I get the chance to sit down, dude, I have a hard time turning down a nice steak.
Hey, there we go. Favorite restaurant?
Favorite place to get a burger, fast food, Backyard Burger. I'm a really big Backyard Burger fan. Yeah. There's not one Hot Springs anymore, so now that I work in Little Rock, I frequent that fairly often. If I'm going to have a sit-down steak, it's hard to beat Texas Roadhouse, man. I'm not a huge bread and butter guy, but, man, that cinnamon butter over there, woo.
Yes.
That's some good stuff, bro.
Good stuff. Yes. Awesome.
Your go-to relaxation spot?
Honestly, the best place I can unplug is a movie theater. I'm a big movie guy, love going to the movies, and it's the one place that I give myself permission to just turn the phone off guilt-free. So
awesome.
I love being in the dark in theater, just
what's the latest movie?
I actually went and saw Quiet Place, the new one, just actually on Friday.
Okay.
So, because we've been in camp season all summer, and so had about half a day Friday, so I snuck away to the theater.
There we go. All right, besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
Man, anything by Philip Yancey. I love Philip Yancey. The Jesus I Never Knew really flipped my life upside down in that 2-year process where I was trying to figure out if God was calling me to ministry. And then his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, I've read that probably 4 or 5 times, taken multiple folks through that. Love anything by Philip Yancey.
Favorite podcast?
Ooh, I'm a bit of a sports guy a little bit, so listen to Dan Le Batard for a little while. They do some sports humor, love football, so do Pro Football Talk with the guys from NBC. And I've got where I really enjoy Ed Newton. He's been here at some of our convention events, been at Super Summer a couple times, and so usually podcast his sermons.
I'll say, Clint, if you would please, just remove that Mission Eyes coffee mug from in front of Bill, since that wasn't mentioned.
Nobody yet has mentioned that. I'm not sure what's happening here. Favorite genre of music?
Dude, I'm a hardcore rocker. I'm not like a speed metal guy, but I like just a good, solid guitar lick.
Awesome.
Yep.
First concert you attended?
First concert, we'll bear that out. My first concert was actually at Barton Coliseum. For those who have been Little Rock, been around Little Rock a while, back before Simmons Arena and Verizon and everything else, Barton was the place to be. So believe it or not, my grandfather, of all people, took me to Bullet Boys, Winger, and Cinderella back in the spring of 89. That was my very first concert.
Wow.
Yep. So
with Grandpa.
With Grandpa. How about that?
Favorite place to visit?
Man, I'll be honest, my favorite place, I don't get to go there very often, probably every 2 or 3 years, but man, there is nothing like being on a cruise in the middle of the ocean, no cell reception, don't pay for the Wi-Fi, just completely unplug it with a book on the deck and a Coke or a piece of cake from the cafe. That is hard to beat, my friend. That is hard to beat.
You've alluded to this one already. Favorite sport?
Yeah, I'm a football guy. I love to watch football. I don't play, but I love to watch, man.
Okay, so I've got one other question. that's not on our list that we sent to Bill. Okay, here it is. Batman or Superman?
Oh, Batman, hardcore.
Yeah. Those of you hardcore. Who may not know Bill, it has been rumored that Bill is Batman because you've never seen the two of them together in the same place.
Yeah, it's almost an obsession, really. It's almost borderline neurotic. Yeah.
I can think of no one better to join us for this episode on raising up and calling out the next generation of gospel workers than Bill Newton. So, Bill, let's jump right into these 10 steps that Chuck Lawless has shared with us on raising up, calling out the next generation of gospel workers. And I don't think it would surprise any of us, anybody who's read that article or those of us around this table, that number one on his list was pray. So Bill, speak to us about the importance of prayer in raising up and calling out the next generation.
Well, I would say as far as prayer goes, that should be number one on the list because of all the things when we think about call to ministry, Jesus especially addresses that through prayer in Matthew chapter 9. Right? He's having the conversation. He's going around healing people, and we're told in Matthew chapter 9 that when Jesus saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. He was brokenhearted for them because he saw the situation that they were in and that they needed some true shepherds, right? The religious leaders of that day were not the shepherds. They were the look at me, look how holy that you will never attain. And Jesus saw that they needed people to be in the trenches with them. And so he gives the disciples the directive that the harvest is abundant, right? That the workers are few. And then specifically says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And so Jesus himself identified that one of the key elements of people being called into ministry, going into the fields for evangelism and for discipleship is prayer. Realizing ultimately, honestly, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, but prayer seems to be the thing that Jesus identified as this is the key.
And so that's something important as an individual, as a pastor, being to pray for the workers for the harvest field. What about the importance in the local church of the gathering of the church, that is an intentional part of worship?
Yes. And I would even say, you know, it's been interesting since over the last 2 or 3 weeks have been in quite a few conversations with folks because we're in the middle of summer camp season as we record this and have had multiple people ask in a church I was preaching at yesterday, actually, it all came up in the conversation, like, why are we seeing such a void in people being raised up?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think that I have noticed and have read about and that has been pointed out is in the midst of those corporate worship times, fewer churches are offering invitations, and the result of that is with fewer public presentations or opportunities to respond to the gospel is also the lack of opportunity for students or even adults to respond to a call to ministry publicly or even put that on their radar, make them aware of that. And now, not only that, but even in churches who still do offer invitations, I'll be honest, a vast majority of the churches I have been in over the years, either visiting or on staff, when it comes time for that response time, rarely is call to ministry something that's offered as a response opportunity.
Yeah,
we talk a lot about intentionality here in previous episodes in different aspects, but I think we have to be intentional calling the people out.
Exactly.
I don't think that's one that Chuck listed, but it's here throughout all these steps is the intentionality of calling folks. Hey, step number two is watch. Here's what he says. Keep your eyes open for young people who show promise and commitment that at least make you wonder about the possibility of their calling. Watch for answers to the prayers you've been praying. Mm. And then he adds, be alert for older members, too, who might be called later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I think especially student pastors have a great opportunity to be on the lookout because they get to interact with students on a regular basis that the senior pastor often doesn't have the opportunity to. Not that obviously the senior pastor can't, but because the student pastor is with those students on mission trips and summer camps. Mission trips especially are a great time to kind of plant those gospel seeds when you see a student leading well, you see a student who has a passion for Jesus or for evangelism or for discipleship, to just kind of plant that seed as, hey, have you ever thought about the fact that God could call you, you know, to full-time vocational ministry? And so I think student pastors especially are in a really great place to be able to do that.
Awesome. So we're praying that God calls out workers for the harvest field. We're watching as we walk through the rhythms of being a pastor of a church leader, those who it appears that that God is working in their life, God is leading them in a certain direction. And then number three, Chuck says, is challenge. And I like what he writes. Don't wait for others to come to you. Take the initiative to challenge them to consider a calling. Mm. Bill just spoke about that. Now, men, I look back over the 35 years that I served as a local church pastor. And like I said earlier, so grateful for those conversations, a lot of conversations with students and some adults, you know, who just felt something's going on here. I don't know what it is. Help me walk through this. That I had, you know, those people that were sensing God calling them into ministry, a deeper walk, a different walk with Him. Now, I was intentional, and we've spoken about that too, Clint, about in our preaching, about being intentional to keep the Great Commission, the objective of the mission in front of our people. But boy, I sure wish that I was more intentional in some of these steps that we're going to discuss and calling out the called, especially this particular step of challenging.
Yeah, and I think that's where invitation comes in, giving students the opportunity to do that, or even adults the opportunity to do that. One of the things that came up in conversation in the last couple of weeks, one of the shifts that has happened the last few decades, which I think is really healthy for the church, is, you know, as Baptists, we have an emphasis on the doctrine from 1 Peter 2:9 about the priesthood of the believers, that everybody is a minister to some way, you know, that any honorable vocation can be used as ministry, and which has been a great emphasis to help everybody in the church realize wherever God has planted them is a place of ministry. I think the downside of that, if I could use that word, is we haven't gone the extra step to also say, yes, everybody has this universal calling to ministry, mm-hmm. but there is a percentage of people that God calls to full-time vocational ministry. And I think not only to challenge people in general with that priesthood of the believer, but also to challenge people to say, but there are some people that God calls to full-time ministry. And I think that's part of that challenge as well. Well, that's missing that needs to happen.
Yeah. And one of the things that Chuck states in this article, he said, most pastors I know don't do it intentionally. Mm. Most of us wait until someone comes to us with questions about a potential call. With that approach, we miss the opportunity to challenge others to consider a call.
Yeah.
The same way, Clint, I know, and Bill, you've probably had these discussions. You know, I talked about the excitement of having that discussion with someone who says, hey, I feel God's calling me into ministry. In each church that I've pastored, I have had older individuals come to me and sit down and just with tears in their eyes say, you know, when I was younger, I really felt God was calling me into ministry to on the mission field or something. And just did not have that person in my life to give me that opportunity to challenge me with that. And here I am 40, 50 years later, and I didn't respond to that. And now it's at a point where, you know, life and choices that we've made, I can't do that. So challenge.
Yeah, good.
Number four is prioritize. This is another step, another intentional step, where you clear your plate enough to spend time with those who have expressed a sense of calling. Bill, how did you make that happen in your ministry? With so many things competing for your time,
yeah.
How do you prioritize those?
Yeah. So some of that for me came in the form of when I first got to Hot Springs 15 years ago, we were so close to Wichita that even before I got there to the church, as I was beginning to make that transition, I just felt a conviction from God, like we are way too close to that many students who feel called to ministry. And so even coming in, I had a conversation early on with the pastor and some of the leadership about being able to hire interns that we could really set up for a win-win situation, because obviously the interns are going to do some work. Some of it's going to be grunt work a little bit, honestly, but there was also kind of that trade-off of, but also we're going to find some ways to invest in you. Like, we just don't want you to give to the church. We're going to find some ways to give and invest in you as well. So some of that came with the obligation, for example, of the interns. I had a some students over the years who felt called to ministry. And so some of that with students who were still in the student ministry was giving them opportunities to preach. So going, actually there's one that we have as an intern this summer here. His name is Tanner, who came up through the ministry at First Hot Springs, felt called to ministry. And so began plugging him in on Wednesday nights, which meant I would go to his house or he would come to mine. Or we go to a coffee shop somewhere and kind of walk him through some basic hermeneutics and basic Bible interpretation, help him to kind of shape that sermon. It does take more time, obviously, but I think part of the keys, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes, but part of it is, I think, to keep the big picture in mind, that the fact of, yes, I am important in what God has called me to do in this limited space, but there's going to come a time and a day where I'm not around anymore for one reason or another, right? But everything still has to continue on. So it's that almost discipleship method of things in bringing people into the ministry.
And let me take a point of personal privilege here and just say thanks to Bill, because my son Turner was one of his interns.
Yeah, he was.
And the time that he spent with him, the priority that he showed while Turner was an intern, just an incredible formative time in his life.
Thank you.
As a minister. Thank you, brother. Yeah,
thank you. He was a good one to have.
Yeah. Now, this would be a good time to review.
All right.
10 steps. Bill, why don't you give us a recap of what we've covered so far and lead us into number 5.
Okay. So that first one was prayer, obviously. Number one for a reason. The second one was just kind of watch, be on the lookout for who God may have gifted or who God may be stirring in. And then from there, as you identify those folks, you move to that third step of challenge. Make them aware of what you see, because sometimes we see things that people don't see. And so to come to people and say, hey, have you ever thought about, or hey, I think God may be calling you. And then the fourth thing is to prioritize, once those people are identified, to find some ways to intentionally invest in those folks, which segues to the fifth one, which is walk. This idea of walking alongside those who feel like they're called to ministry, to find some ways to invest in them, to give them those opportunities to serve, realizing that they're going to make mistakes, right? Same as we did and still continue to do, but be graceful with them and to resource them and to invest not just time, but find some ways to invest some resources in them as well, but
yeah,
walk alongside of them.
A couple of years ago, Clint, I think it was during the AM retreat that was at Lake DeGray. Some of us went to the coffee shop there at Ouachita, walked out on the patio, and there was Bill with three of his students. And that's what he was doing. He was walking with them. He was investing in them. That's incredible. Chuck writes this, spend time with them beyond set classroom times. Let them see how you love your spouse and raise your children. Show them how you study the Word and pray. Model humility and grace in front of them.
Yeah, and I look back, I mean, it was that walk that really impacted me in living out my calling. And like I said, a bivocational pastor that I saw at work, who was a maintenance worker at the school. And so I saw him at various times throughout the school day interacting with people, interacting with me, but then would also carve out time. He had kids my age. You know, and he would carve out time for me out of what I now realize was a very limited family time that he had. So just, you know, the old adage is that you spell love, T-I-M-E, you know, and I think that's true here. He poured into me with time, but resources and opportunities as well.
Well, and the Bible has a word for that. It's called discipleship.
That's right. Right?
Discipleship. Yes.
Exactly.
Because in truth, and you may kick me off at this point. If so, I would understand. But a lot of what we call discipleship in churches, at least from my experience, is not real discipleship. It's Bible teaching. It's pouring into people. It's transformative. It's important. But discipleship is just what you talked about. It's that life on life where, as he said, you invite them into your home and you model for them, right? You walk with them in doing those things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, number 6 is wonder. Now, that is with an O and not an A. I mean, here we are. We're at least I, just old redneck here. Wonder and wonder can sound a whole lot alike. And so while there are times that we may wonder, W-A-N-D-E-R, this is W-O-N-D-E-R. Chuck says, you must be filled with wonder and amazement that God has even called you to do ministry. And guys, I don't know about you, but every opportunity I get, whether it's to preach or speak, lead, do anything, and when I'm done, I really am filled with wonder that God could use somebody me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I would agree. Especially, I think I have been keen to that.
You would agree with?
With
Clint, with what he was saying about himself?
Yes. Okay. And about me as well.
We are filled with wonder, too.
Yes.
With Clint.
But really, just given the fact that ministry was nowhere on my radar and that God very unexpectedly called me to that. Looking back, I think it was probably started in high school. I just wasn't in tune enough to realize that. But yeah, given how well I know me and how well God knows me, yes, it amazes me that God allows me to have the opportunities that He affords.
Yeah, and number seven is utilize. Now, Bill's already alluded to this in terms of involving students, those called into ministry, into significant aspects of ministry, giving those responsibilities. What else we want to add to that?
Well, you know, one of the things I think is important to help students understand is sometimes students are nervous about that, which is completely understandable. We even get that way as adults. And students are nervous to fail. They are nervous to try something and find out that that is not their gifting. And so one of the things I've learned over years to coach students on is to simply say, look, it's important to know where you're gifted, but it's also important to know where you're not gifted. So if you plug in somewhere and try some service or try some leadership and you find out that's not your thing, like, that's okay, because you don't need to be where God's not created you to serve. Like,
one,
that's not your gifting. Two, if you're in that spot, somebody else can't be there who's maybe supposed to be there. And three, it's just not productive for the kingdom. So if you try to lead someplace or serve someplace and it doesn't work out, like, we need to encourage students and adults.
Right.
Like, don't be bummed about that. Kind of the joke I always make is, look, if they're short in the two-year-old class, I'll go in and fill in for a Sunday or two, but I'm not your guy to teach that for 12 months, because when the parents come pick up the kids, I'm going to be crying. The kids are going to be crying, just all for different reasons, right? Like, that's not my gifting. I love my preschoolers and when my kids, when they were preschoolers, but like, preschool full-time is not my jam, man. That's okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that's okay to know. Like, it's important to know that, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those guys, Bill, that early on in ministry training at Wichita, I knew that student ministry, it wasn't for me. It was not for
and
me.
And that's okay. You need
no
to know
matter
that.
How many times that individual that was the chair of the department wanted me to interview for a church that was looking for a youth pastor. No, that is not, I can tell you now, that is not where I need to be. So that's a good word.
Yeah,
that's
I think
a really
that's
good
important
word.
That we overlook that, because again, students, at least in my experience, students get so nervous about failure. And I think it's okay to say, bro, it's not a failure if you figured out that's not what you're gifted to do. Like, check it off the list, mark it out, and move on to the next thing. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I've found even in this position, there are a lot of things that I don't feel comfortable doing, or I don't want to do, and I just pass them off to Clint. So you've prayed, watched those who show promise and commitment, challenged them to consider a calling, cleared that calendar enough to spend some time with them. You've walked with them while continuously being filled with wonder and amazement that God could call even you, and you've utilized them in significant ways in the life of the church. And number eight, you release.
Yeah.
That's the goal, isn't it, Bill?
Yes.
To release your best to reach the nations and make disciples.
Absolutely. And again, that's part of that discipleship process. We even see Jesus model that when he's with the disciples, right? He calls them, they're with him, and they kind of watch. And then there comes a time where he equips them and he sets them loose and comes back and checks in with them. And then obviously there came the time where Jesus completely set them free in Acts under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So you kind of have this process of Jesus, and that's exactly what we're talking about with calling and then walking.
Oh,
and then
is.
There comes this time where you set them free, man. Set them loose to do what God's called them to do.
And once you release them, number nine is watch again. I mean, don't forget them.
That's right.
Bill, how have you continued to shepherd those you've released?
Usually it's through just kind of checking in, see how things are going. So to go back to Turner for a minute, I remember when Turner graduated and moved into his first full-time ministry position, I tried to be intentional. Maybe it wasn't as successful as I would like to have been, honestly, but tried to check in with him periodically to see how things were going, give him a call, send him a prayer, have lunch with him, something along those lines. And of course, now he's been doing ministry for a long time and does a great job, but even just ran into him at camp last week when we were together and just kind of checking in, asking since he recently made a transition, just kind of seeing how it was going, if there's anything we could help him or serve him with. And I think that is important to be able to do, is just continue to check in and let them know, even after they've been out for a while, like, if there's any way I can help, like, never hesitate to let me know, call on me, that we're all in this together, man.
Awesome. And that brings us to the final step. Bill, do the honors.
Yeah, this last one is to be humbled. And I'll be honest, this one for me ties in really close to number six, the idea of just the wonder that God would even use somebody like me and call us. I just can't help but think back to the disciples when they are in Acts and they stand in front of the religious leaders and they're doing all the things that they're doing. And those leaders say, those trained religious leaders look at those untrained guys and say, who are these untrained men? And I just, and that's that humility again. It kind of goes back, cliche, but this idea of God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, right? Yeah. And that kind of idea, especially I think when you look back and see all the times that God has been faithful, it's just humbling to think that, first of all, that, again, that God would use us, but also humbling to think that even despite all of our failures, God is faithful to his word and faithful to equip us for the things he calls us to do, even 20, 30, 40 years into ministry sometimes.
Wow, great discussion. I want to encourage you to check the show notes where we will have a link to the original article. But here are the top 10 or the 10 steps, just as a reminder. Begins with prayer. Number two is watch. Number three is challenge, calling out those folks. Number four is prioritizing, spending time with them. Number five is walking with them, letting them see you live your life. Next is wonder. Never get over the fact that God has called us and that he calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Next is utilize, then release, and then watch again, keeping in touch with these folks, and then lastly, be humbled. We want to thank you, Bill, for joining us in this episode. If our listeners want to discuss any of these topics with you or just connect with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so the email here at the convention is B as in Bill, so just the initial B, Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N, at ABSC for Arkansas Baptist State Convention.org. I'm on social media some. I have a Facebook page. I'll be honest, I don't use it very often, but I do have an Instagram that I'm on occasionally, but mostly I'm on Twitter or X because it's information driven and some of the things that I enjoy doing and pick up. So there I'm B Newton 116 out of Romans 116. So it's just B Newton 116 on both Twitter and X and on Instagram. And then, of course, let me just say, our role here at the State Convention is to service the churches, to serve you guys as pastors any way that I can. So if I can help you with your next gen stuff, family ministry stuff, youth ministry stuff, feel free to give me a shout. Would love to come alongside you and find some ways to help serve you.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Let me just remind you something that I've been reminded of in this this discussion today with Bill. Pastors, church leaders, those who are designing our worship time, who are leading in worship on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, whenever that may be, please, please include in that worship, in the invitation time, a time of calling, of responding to a calling. It doesn't take much time just to put that in, you know, not only a call to salvation, not only a call to be a member of the church or baptism, but God may be calling some of you to serve the church. God may be calling some of you as a missionary through the International Mission Board, North American Mission Board. Be intentional in keeping that calling before the congregation. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to us. Please, if you like what you've heard, give us a review, subscribe, share the link with your ministry friends. Until next time, thanks and God bless.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.